Haideți să deschidem Sfânta Carte, Biblia, la
Iov 1.
Voi citi versetul 1 și de la 6 la 12.
And there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was a perfect and upright man, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, When comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going and throwing the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Amen. This book and this man are an inspiration for me. Every time I read it and every time I think about it. Even though there is a lot of unknown things about this book. First of all, we don't know exactly who wrote Job. And if we have to make a list of authors, probably Elihu would be the first one on the top of the list. We don't know exactly the time when this book was written. We might think that it's sometimes between chapters 11 and 12 from Genesis. Even this place, Uz, this country, we don't know exactly where it is. The historicals, they say it might have been the old Damascus. Even the theme of the book is a little unknown, because when we first read this book, it looks like the sufferance would be the theme of the book. But if we go deeply in the book, we realize that not the sufferance is the theme, but the repentance. Because what God wants to show us, He wants to show us the most righteous man that ever lived on the earth, besides Jesus Christ, who was Job. And through his sufferings, God wants to show us that this man was still a sinner and he needed repentance like everyone else. And we see that more obvious at the end of the book in chapter 42. Acolo unde Iov spune, acum mă pocăiesc în sac și cenușă. A man went to a doctor one time and said, Doctor, I don't know what to do. I have this anxiety inside of me. I have this depression and I really don't know what to do. I wanted to come to you to see if you can prescribe me something. The doctor looked at him, checked him out and said, You know, you need to go outside. You need to step out from your comfort zone. You need to relax a little bit. You probably read too many books. Look, there's going to be a very big comedy show in our city tonight. A very known comedian is going to come and perform. You should go. It would be really helpful for you. The patient looks at the doctor and he goes, But I am that comedian. I came to you. I thought you might be able to help me and, you know, do something for me. There's two things that are very hard for us to understand in this world. First of all, it's very hard to understand why are so many, sometimes we call them blessings, good things, not necessarily blessings, but good things happening to the unrighteous people, to people that don't care about God, to people that don't have any kind of godly and moral value. And that happens. It's even written in the Bible. Psalmul 72 cu 12 spune așa, Așa sunt cei răi, întotdeauna fericiți și le sporesc bogățiile. But on the other side, the other question that is very painful, it's why are so many bad things happening to the righteous people? And this is the title of my message tonight. The righteous man going through the hurricane. The righteous man going through the hurricane. Neprihănitul care trece prin uragan. I remember when I was 8 years old, I had a neighbor in Romania. He was a musician, a very, very nice guy, an amazing person. Always had a smile on his face, always wanted to be nice to everyone. It was a pleasure to talk to him all the time. And he had two sons. One of them was 16 at the time. He was going to a lot of Olympics. He was a genius in math and physics. He was a very, very smart guy. And one day he was walking with his friends on some railroads. He was listening to his Walkman because we didn't have iPods at that time. And the train came. He didn't hear the train. And even if he did, it was too late. It smashed him on the ground, killed him on the spot. I remember this family in Romania, we were family friends. They moved out here a couple years ago. Both of them under 40 years old. They have 9 kids. Amazing people. He was a man of God, a man that would preach the gospel, and such a humble family. They moved out here, and she was pregnant with the 10th kid when she discovered she had cancer. Not too long after she gave birth, she died. I didn't go to the funeral, but I watched it online, and I honestly couldn't stop crying, seeing all these little kids surrounding their dead body's mom. And all I was thinking in that moment, watching that online, I was thinking, what can you preach and what can you tell those people in that situation? It might be terrified. It might be very hard. And we're looking at Job, a man that lost everything. He lost his family, 10 kids that died in one day. He lost his wealth. He didn't have absolutely anything. He got a disease. He was scraping himself and his skin with a piece of glass, probably sitting on the city's trash, because when you are that bankrupt, you don't even have your own trash. A wife right next to him that clearly didn't want to have anything to do with God, because she understood clearly from her point that the fault for everything that happened, it's first of all God's fault, because this is the God that Job has, a God that is rewarding his faithful servants by killing them 10 kids in one day. And then second of all, it's Job's fault because he's crazy enough to still seek and pray such a God. I mean, you're trying to be a good Christian. You're trying to fight with your flesh. You're trying to fight with your sin. You're trying to be a man of prayer. You're trying to be a woman of prayer. And sometimes, this is the reward. I remember this family in Romania. I was young. They had 7 kids. I was playing with their younger ones because they were around my age. And their oldest sister, in a wheelchair, never said mom, never said dad, never recognized, not even her own parents. All she would be just moaning, pretty much a veggie. I'm not a parent, but how would you feel as a parent living with that for the rest of your life? You're praying to God to give you a job for years, and you still don't have it. The word divorce is more often heard in our churches. I mean, it's okay, I understand these losers from Hollywood, they don't know any better than that. But us Christian, people of God, people that were dedicated in church, people that made commitment in church, people that know what's good and what's bad, and it's still happening. Și vine Tesaloniceni 4 și 5 și spune așa de clar: fiecare să-și păstreze vasul în sfințenie și curăție, nu în aprinderea poftelor ca neamurile, adică ca cei din lume care nu-L cunosc pe Dumnezeu. And we go back to Job. And probably the question is, the first time you read this book, I mean, what is God doing? Is He trying to see how far is this guy going to go? I mean, how much is He going to take? How much, what's the last point of His sufferings? No. Then why is the righteous going through the hurricane? The righteous man goes through the hurricane, brothers and sisters, first of all, because God wants to test our faithfulness. You know, Satan comes and God says, did you see my servant Job? Yes, I did. Did you see how faithful he is? Of course he's faithful. Of course he's faithful because you gave him 1,000,000 blessings, one after the other. Of course he's faithful because he stays like a beggar all the time begging, give me God and I'll be faithful. Give me God and I will love you. You think that's why he's faithful? You think that's why he loves me? Take everything. Just don't touch his life. Because this is the question that I'm addressing you tonight, my brother and my sister. Do you stick to the gift or you stick to the giver? Do you want the gift or you want the giver? Do you belong to the gift or you belong to the giver? Do you love the gift or you love the giver? Because if you love the gift that comes and goes, that fades away, but the only one that is eternal and stays forever is the giver, is the one that gives us the blessing. When we made a commitment with God, what did we say? Oh, God, I will be committed to you if you love me. No, we said, God, we'll be committed to you because you forgave our sins. No other God did that for us. When you made a commitment to your wife or to your husband, what did you say? Through good times and through bad times. If you're going to be poor, if you're going to be rich, if you're going to be broke, or if you're going to have money, if you're going to be sick, or if you're going to be healthy, I will love you. I'll be there for you. And Daniel, I like what Daniel says and tells the king, our God can save us. And even if he's not going to save us, we're still going to love him. We're still going to adore him. We're still going to seek him, and we're still going to praise him. Because this is what a lot of people think these days. You know, they think that you got to be blessed to be God's son or God's daughter. But this is very false. This is probably one of the first passages in the Bible where it's preached this gospel of prosperity. In my Bible, it doesn't say that you have to be, I don't know, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates to be in heaven. În Biblia mea, în Marcu 10:25, spune în felul următor, că e mai lesne pentru o cămilă să treacă prin urechile acului decât un bogat în împărăția lui Dumnezeu. Two. The righteous goes through the hurricane because God wants to simply see our faith. You know, everything was a trial for this man until his wife steps in. And she probably replaced in a way or other Eve here. And she says, I mean, you're still righteous, you're still faithful. I mean, just curse him and die. Do what I did already. Don't you see how useless you are? Faith and faithfulness. For some of us, they might be the same thing, but it's not. Faith is what we believe in. We believe in God. The faithfulness is the perseverance of that faith day by day. Because if I had it 20 years ago and I don't have it right now, then I had it for nothing. An older man came to me one time and he said, oh, the way we received the faith 40 years ago, we don't have faith right now. Where is it? God's not going to judge me, and God's not going to judge you through what you had in your past, through what I had 10 years ago, but God's going to judge me and save me through what I have right now. I have a really nice baptism certificate. By the way, our church gives really nice certificate when you get baptized, and I have it in my room. But if I don't leave that certificate every day of my life, then that certificate is just a piece of paper, worthless, useless. This is the real faith. And like I said, he could have been tempted to say a lot of things. I mean, seriously, God, what are you doing? I'm your son. I'm not the devil's son. You led me on the devil's hand. What are you doing, God? This might be some kind of misunderstanding here. But no, all he does in that situation, where he was broke, where he was sick, where he was probably full of, surrounding by trash, he just threw himself to the ground and praised God. This is the real prayer. This is the prayer that Job died. We know probably three types of prayer, if not more, but I know three types of prayer. The prayer that we do standing up, the prayer that we do in our knees, and this prayer that you do throwing yourself to the ground. When you don't care about anyone else looking at you, when you don't care about anyone else telling things about you, when you don't care about anyone else saying things or making things up, because it's your relationship on the vertical with God. It's your relationship and it's my relationship with my Lord. And I want to have it. I show it in that way, as the way Job does here, that I'm not sticking to absolutely anything that is on this world. I'm not sticking up to anything that is material, but I'm sticking up to my God. I'm sticking up to my Lord. I'm sticking up to my Savior. Three. The righteous goes through the hurricane because God wants to simply take us to a higher stage. You know, I'm not really into video games, but I know little kids, when they play games and stuff, sometimes they get from a stage to another. And there's the same thing with us and with our spiritual life so many times. We are at some spiritual stage. And we get so comfortable sometimes at that stage that we feel like taking naps. And then God comes and shakes us a little bit and he throws us in the icy water or he throws us in the hot water and then we come out purified, different people. It's like Jacob's ladder. It's a ladder to heaven. God's holding my hand. God's holding your hand. And he takes us step by step, one step at a time. And I like the way Job says there in 42 verse 7. He says, my ear heard about you, but now my eye saw you. In other words, yes, my ear heard about you. I knew about God. I mean, I came to church all my life. I knew what's good and what's bad. I was dedicated in church. I made a commitment in this church. I made a baptism in this church. But I never knew God. It's like a sermon. You hear a sermon today and probably you remember 10% in a week. But when you put that sermon in practice, when you experience God, when you have a relationship with God, when you have a dialogue with God, when you are close to God, that's when you can say, my eyes are seeing you, Lord. And it was hard for me to understand that verse in 40 verse 7 where God says, I will ask you and you will teach me. I mean, okay, I understand. Job is a righteous man. But in order to give lessons to God, that's a little too much. And then I understood the fact that God had one son that died for all of us. And this was the supreme sacrifice. No one ever can get to that sacrifice. But this poor man had 10 kids that died one day without even a reason, without even an answer. You might be in some situation when you're broke inside of you. And people are judging you. People are looking at you weird. People are saying things about you, but you know you're clean. And you know you're suffering. And this is when God comes and says, you know, whisper me your pain. Tell me your pain. I want to talk to you. I want to have a dialogue with you. I want to hear it from you. I love you. No one gives a penny on you. But I want to be your Lord. And you can be my son, and you can be my daughter. And God takes us on a higher stage. It's like that dialogue that Jesus had on the mountain with Elijah and with Moses. And four, the righteous goes through the hurricane because God simply wants to make us lights in this world. You know, I never knew that the best smell you can get in a rose is when the rose is smashed. And I want to read just two verses from... Chapter 42, verses 7 and 8. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job had. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go for my servant Job and offer up of yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job did.
You know, it's the same thing with us. Every time we're smashed, God takes the best that is in us. It's like a palm tree that you clean, and you clean it out from the old and bad branches, and you let in the middle whatever is pure, whatever is good, and can be traded. And my dad always used to tell me when I was little, try to learn from some other people's mistakes, so you're not going to have to learn from your own. And I'm not saying that Job made any mistakes, don't get me wrong, but Job is a man that can teach other people. Job is a man that can tell you and can tell me tonight, don't be like that, don't act like that. I know how that feels, like I've been through that. Because a man that came through such a sufferance and such a trial talks different, loves different, seeks different, sees different, respects different, appreciates different. A lot of times we don't appreciate the things that we have. It feels like it's normal to have a house, to have a family, to have people that love us, to get a rose on your birthday, to get a birthday gift. But I might be able to stand up here, some people maybe for whom those things are not quite normal. That's why all I'm saying is, let's appreciate everything that we have, my brothers and sisters, because everything that we have from God's hands. And sometimes it's good to go through hurricanes, because in such a trial and in such a sufferance, we really find out and see who our real friends are. Who's that man and that woman? Who are those friends where you can put your head on their shoulder? Cum spunea și vorba aceea românească, nu? Prietenul adevărat la nevoie se cunoaște. There are people that go through trials, that go through hurricanes, and even here, Sunday morning, sometimes, you know, we read the list, and sometimes it seems like it's the same people, or for some people, we have to pray all the time. And you know, sometimes you might be thinking, why are we praying for them all the time? Maybe there's something hiding. Why is God doing that to them? Maybe, who knows, maybe there's a sin behind that. Maybe there's not a sin. Maybe God doesn't allow that because of a sin. Maybe God simply wants to be glorified and praised through that person's situation, through that person's trial. Maybe God wants to take him to a higher spiritual standard that I am and that you are. So let's not judge, because today it's him and her. Tomorrow it might be you and me. Let's be faithful. I like the way all this story ends with Job. It's a complete repentance, like I was saying in the beginning in our theme. It's a repentance from Job. It's a repentance from his wife. Because look, he has another 10 kids with her and more wealth than before. So what's the loss? There's no loss. Every time you're faithful with God in your trial and in your sufferings, you're always, always going to be a winner. Our problems, my brothers and sisters, is that a lot of times we say, God, I want the blessing right now. Give me the blessing right now. And we're praying, and we want it right now. And when we're in pain, when we suffer, when we struggle, we say, God, please heal me. Do something about it. Don't let me die. Don't let me in this situation. Do something about it. And sometimes maybe God looks at you and looks at me and he says, you know what? I'll just tell you the same thing I told Paul. My grace, it's enough. And that's so true, brothers and sisters. His grace, it's enough for us every day. So the righteous man goes through the hurricane because God wants to test our faithfulness. The righteous man goes through the hurricane because God wants to simply see our faith. He wants to take us to a higher spiritual standard than we are at this moment, at this point. And fourth of all, the righteous goes through the hurricane because God wants to make us lights in this world full of blind people. Așa că, frați și surori, ce facem? Stăm aproape de Dumnezeu. Stăm aproape de Hristos, stăm în pocăință, stăm în adunare, stăm în smerenie, indiferent de situație, indiferent de circunstanțe, indiferent de împrejurări. Pentru că vreau să vă garantez un singur lucru. Dacă în viața asta vom trece prin furtuni și prin uragane și vom umbla de multe ori pe străzi de spini, presărate cu mulți spini, cu mai mult în împărăția cerului vom umbla pe străzi de aur. Ajută-ne, Doamne, să stăm aproape de Tine, în pocăință, în adorare, în smerenie, să Te iubim, să Te cinstim în credință, desăvârșiți prin dragostea, prin blândețea, prin bunătatea și prin mila Ta. Amin.